As we actually jump into the book of Matthew, chapter 5, we looked at it last week and found that Jesus is on top of a mountain and he is preaching to a crowd. And we likened it to the last time that God had spoken to his people on a mountaintop, on Mount Sinai, when the law was given and God revealed to his people after he had delivered them from the Egyptians that he is holy. And it was at that point where the people experienced that they were not. And they were terrified. And as God continued to rain down his commandments upon the people, they had gotten to a point where they said to Moses, "Moses, tell God to stop talking, because if he continues to talk, we will be consumed by this fire." Part of this picture, we find Moses being one that actually was able to journey up into, on the mountain, into the very presence of God. And I mentioned last week that that's exactly where God wants us to be. In his holiness, he makes us holy. When we place our trust in Christ at our very core, his Spirit has made us righteous and that we are new. We are in many ways like Moses on top of that mountain, and we get to come into his presence and we get to say, "Lord, show me your glory." And like Moses, God calls us his friend and even his very own children. Well, this morning, our time together, I said is going to be easy. We're going to focus on one word, and we'll see if you guys can guess which word this morning. So let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." It's interesting that after God spoke his sermon on Mount Sinai to the people and rained down the law and set up the sacrificial system for them to be a reminder that no, not only have you broken the law, but the sacrificial system reminded them that their sins had to be paid for, and it had to be paid for with blood. It had to be a sacrifice. These two elements were to be a continual reminder to the Jewish population, this Israel, this Jewish nation, that law, that man is a lawbreaker and his sins have to be paid for. And it would cause them to remember the promise that was made to Abraham, which was 400 years earlier before the law even came, that which through his seed would come one that would bless the nations. And as an illustration, God had Abraham about ready to sacrifice his child. And we understand that upon that mountain, we're given the picture that God is going to provide. The Lord provides. That's what Abraham experienced. And so now, after this event, God tells his people in Deuteronomy, this is what will happen if you obey my words and if you follow me, if you will trust in me, you will be blessed. And if you don't, and if you turn away to idols, you will experience the curse. And now Jesus comes upon the scene, and the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, blessed. This should give us a glimpse into the heart of our God, because he is always desiring to bless people. He doesn't want to curse people. He doesn't want to pour his wrath down on people. He wishes for none to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So he said, blessed. God is for us. He isn't against us. He longs to bless us, not to curse us. The word blessed, however, is so overused, especially in our culture. Maybe you were guilty of using it this week when somebody sneezed. I think after today, I'm hoping that you'll get a better understanding of the word blessed. And it will help us to understand why Jesus uses this word over and over again, and why these people in whom he talks about are so blessed, even when they mourn. After 9/11 happened, everybody sang along to the song, God Bless America. In an article that was written by Sports News, it writes that after 9/11, everyone broke out into this song of God Bless America. In this picture here, everybody sang along. For after weeks afterward, in a riveting World Series that year between Arizona Diamondbacks and the Yankees, one of the most enduring memories came during Game 3 in New York, when 56,000 people at Yankee Stadium joined in a melancholy rendition of the tune as a tattered flag recovered at the World Trade Center site fluttered on a pole above the center field scoreboard. At a time when America was still in shock over Al-Qaeda's terrorist attack. Tanner, I don't know if you're available, but if you could advance the slide for me. It seems to be jamming up here. Oh, never mind. You can sit down. The Yankees, even to this day, sing God Bless America during the seventh inning stretch, along with Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And it says that the Yankees ignore any criticism about the song. They plan to play God Bless America during every seventh inning stretch for as long as there are Yankees. And all it took were some terrorists to fly into these buildings and kill nearly 3,000 Americans. Here we are once again on the other side of a tragedy that happened in Marysville. And like what Tina said, there's probably many who will run to churches. Maybe you're here for the first time wondering what's going on. But my question this morning is, can God really bless America? Can God bless America? And so as we answer that question, we need to ask ourselves the question, can God bless me? To answer that question, we need to remind ourselves of the meaning of the word bless. The word Jesus used 8 different times in his introduction to the Sermon on the Mount is the Greek word makarios. And makarios means possessing the favor of God. It indicates the state of the believer in Christ. It is said of one who becomes a partaker of God's divine nature through faith in Christ. Another way of saying it is that you cannot be blessed by God if you do not possess the Spirit of God. You can't be blessed by God. Because blessing is hinged upon this whole position in which we find ourselves in favor with God. And if you have the Son, He sets you free. But if you don't have the Son, then you have the wrath of God that abides on you. The believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit because of Christ and as a result should be fully satisfied no matter the circumstances. Now this is an interesting way of stating it. I don't know if you've ever looked at the word blessed before and have substituted the word satisfied or fully satisfied or abundantly satisfied. But here's the idea. When you look at the word satisfy, and we look at it in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, satisfy, does it equal blessed? There are 3 points to the word satisfy. One is to satisfy is to meet the expectations or needs or desires of someone. Number 2, satisfy is to fulfill a desire or a need. Synonyms are fulfill, gratify, meet, and fill. The opposite of this word of satisfy is to frustrate. Thirdly, the word satisfy is to provide someone with adequate information or proof so that they are convinced about something. Now my question for you as we insert this back into the word blessed is, does God meet your expectations? Does He meet your needs? Has He met your deepest needs and desires? Does God fulfill you, or does He leave something lacking in your life? On the contrary, does God frustrate you? Does He irritate you? What do you do in circumstances like 9/11 or when a child's life is taken from a random act of violence? Is God good? What do you do about the whole premise where God, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? What do you do with those things? It will greatly affect if you are blessed or not. It will greatly affect if you are satisfied in God or not. His presence in order that you are convinced that He is good. Has God provided you with adequate information or proof of His presence in order that you are convinced that He is good? Have you gotten to a point, and it should have started at salvation, where God has given you enough convincing evidence in your life to radically change you from the inside to make you become alive, to give you a new desire to want to obey His commandments, and to even love Him and to seek for His will to be done rather than your own will to be done. You begin to grow in your confidence in God. Has God convinced you of Himself? If He hasn't, there's no way you can be satisfied in Him. The question then becomes, are you satisfied with God and His goodness in your life? If you are, if God meets your expectations and even beyond, if He meets your deepest desires and needs in your life, if He fully has gratified you with His presence and His forgiveness, and He has provided you with information, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that your salvation is sure and complete because of what Christ did for you on the cross, then I can guarantee you that you're blessed, no matter what circumstance would happen in your life. So, when we think about this word, we find it in Psalm 65, where it states, "There will be silence before you and praise in Zion, O God." Mount Zion is said to be the Jerusalem. It's the place of God. It's the heavenly dwelling. It's the presence of God. He says, there will be silence before you. We will be there in awe. And then he says this, iniquities prevail against me. Sin prevailed against me. I stacked up a whole multitude of sin. As for our transgression, you forgave them. Remember what forgiving is? He dismissed them. How blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to you to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds, you answer us in righteousness, O God, our salvation, you who are the trust of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest sea. You hear the confidence in the writer? Do you hear his greatest needs being met and his greatest expectations being totally blown out of the water? How abundantly God has provided for him. Even when his sins have stacked up so high and were prevailing against him, God came in and forgave them all. Has God done this for you? Then you're blessed. The Hebrew word for satisfy once again reiterates what we have already seen here. In the Old Testament, the word is sabah, which is to be sated, to be fulfilled, to have overabundant supply, to have one's fill of satisfied desires, to have in excess, to be blessed, to be totally satisfied in God. John Piper writes in his book, Desiring God, that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And you can tell when you're satisfied with God or not. Look back on your week. Would you say that your life would have been characterized by those that probably saw you inside your home as one who is satisfied in God, one who is blessed by God? To be blessed is to be satisfied in Him. when we are satisfied in God, then God is blessed. What's interesting, blessing, once again, is possessing the favor of God, that state of being marked by fullness from God. God has completed me. God has made me new. He's made me into a new creation in Christ. To be blessed is to experience God's presence within, which always manifests itself by producing peace, joy, and hope. If you are blessed, your satisfaction comes from God and what He has said, not from favorable circumstances. In some of your translations, it says, "Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Happy falls short because hap comes from the Latin word luck, which is dependent on circumstances. But blessed is not. Blessed is dependent upon the very words of God and not favorable circumstances. That's why you can be blessed and be going through one of the worst trials of your life. The opposite of the word blessed is to be miserable, wretched, pitiable, and needy. Now, when you think about your own life, and when others watch your life, do they hear somebody who is blessed and somebody who is satisfied in God, or do they hear somebody who is just miserable? Always complaining. Always got their eyes on the circumstance. Always got their eyes on the bill, you know? Always having a weight on their shoulders rather than remembering what God has done in the past. Therefore, He will be faithful in the present, which gives me hope for the future. Blessed. I don't know what kind of circumstances you went through this week, but whether they were favorable or not, if you have been redeemed, you are independent of the world. In other words, you don't need anything. If you are a child of God, now listen up. If you are a child of God this morning and you possess the Spirit of God within, your deepest needs have been met in Christ. You have been forgiven of all your sins. You have been loved with an everlasting love. You could never be loved any more than you are loved by God. He has lavished His grace upon you and His mercy upon you, like you couldn't never believe. Therefore, you need nothing from what this world has to offer. Let me tell you something. When things start making you miserable in this world, whether it be another human being, whether it would be an unfavorable circumstance, I would submit to you that you are dangerously close in having set up an idol in your life. In other words, if you expect something from someone else to give you something to make you happy or satisfied, and they don't come through and they make you miserable, you've taken your eyes off the ball. Because your deepest longings and desires have been met in Christ. You have been satisfied in the deepest portions of your soul and your spirit have been set free for all eternity. Who are you to lug around in this world and to be miserable? That's the opposite of being blessed. You have been blessed. You have been given the riches of the kingdom of heaven. I think the issue then becomes, will we go back and we remember? Like we were saying this morning, here I raise my Ebenezer, You go, what is that? Who is that guy? Is that Scrooge? Remember in the Old Testament, anytime God would do something miraculous for Israel, he would have them set up one of these huge stones. So let's say they crossed the Jordan River, and this is the day in which God stopped the Jordan River from flowing, and the whole Israel walked across that stream into the Promised Land. At that place, God said, now I want you to set up these stones. And every time you walk back to this place, you're going to talk to your children about what God did. Here I raise my Ebenezer, which is the stone itself, to remember what God has done for me in the past, so that I can have faith in the present, so I can have hope for the future. When we fail to go into the past, we easily find ourselves with our eyes off of God, dissatisfied with life. We become miserable. And we walk around like people who aren't blessed when we are. Here are some verses, scripture verses, that can reveal whether you are blessed or whether you are frustrated. All right? So let's kind of go through these one by one really quick. Satisfaction. If we are blessed, your satisfaction comes from God. Psalm 32:1. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Man, this just keeps coming up over and over again, doesn't it? There's something about God not counting my sins against me, that my sins are forgiven, that has something to do with tying to why I'm blessed. My transgression is forgiven. Then he says, whose sin is covered. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. That guy's blessed. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. When the pressures start to surmount in your life, what do you run to? Who do you run to? Have you learned to take refuge in God? Psalm 44, verse 4. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse in falsehood. Who are the friends that you hang around? Are they those who are haughty and prideful and continue to get your eyes upon the world? Do you hang around with people who speak nothing but falsehood and deceit? He says, blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust. Psalm 65:4, how blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to you to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house. Psalm 84:4, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Do you know what it means to operate in your own strength compared to operating in the strength of God? Have you experienced the two? In 1 Peter it says that we are to serve in His strength and in His power so that He will receive the glory. I know right away, when I start serving in my own strength and in my own power, I easily start to fizzle out and I start grumbling and complaining. Remember the old adage, you know if you have a servant's heart when somebody starts treating you like a servant. You'll know right away if you've got a real servant's heart or not. Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. As a matter of fact, you could say the more you fear God, the more you are blessed. The more in awe you are of Him. The more holy you understand God to be and how unholy that you are without Christ, it just gives you more thankfulness to understand now who you are in Christ, that you are holy and righteous. Isaiah 30:18, therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for Him. Psalm 146:5, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So here are the questions that I have from the verses that I just read. Do you know that your transgression and sins are forgiven? It's like that's one of the first things. To be on the road to being somebody who is blessed is your sins have to be washed away. Your sins have to be forgiven. You can't scrub away your sins. God has provided a promise for you. He has provided a salvation gift that He wants to give to you, and all you can do is receive it by faith. Do you take refuge in Christ? Have you made the Lord your trust? Do you trust Him? Do you know for certain that God has chosen you? Are you satisfied with God's goodness in your life? Are you satisfied with God's goodness in this world? Do you get your strength from God? Does your heart possess the highways to heaven? In other words, do you long to behold God's face and His glory? Do you long to be in His presence? Do you fear the Lord and delight in His commandments? Is God both your help and your hope? Do you long for God? Like I said before, it's one thing to be blessed by God, and it is another to bless God. Did you know that we have the ability to bless God? One thing is required to make this happen, and we find it in this verse right here. Next verse. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 6. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your path is renewed like the eagle. Do you see it there? The one thing that is needed for us to bless God is to forget none of His benefits. To remember that He has pardoned us of our iniquities, that He has healed us, that He has redeemed us from the pit, that He has crowned us with loving kindness and compassion. This is why we are a different people. We have been saved out of a world that is going to receive the wrath and judgment of God. We've been placed into the family of God, and His loving kindness and compassion has become crowns to us. We're made His very own children. We're heirs to the throne. We're pardoned of all of our iniquities. This is a blessed group. No wonder they find their satisfaction in God and God alone. No wonder all of their life is all about God. Everything's pointing back to God. It's back to Christ. It's because they're blessed. No wonder they have their strength renewed like the eagle. Doesn't really matter what they seem to go through, whether it's persecution. Jesus says they're blessed. Whether they're poor in spirit, they're blessed. Whether they mourn, they're blessed. To be Makarios, blessed, is equivalent to having God's kingdom within one's heart. The king reigns in your heart. You've been made a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. This right here is just temporary. We're just passing through. We're not citizens of Granite Falls or Snohomish County or with the state of Washington. We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And as a matter of fact, our king is about ready to crash into this world of evil and wickedness, and he's going to set up his kingdom very soon. That's why we, as his ambassadors, are going out for him, and we are spreading the word that the king is coming soon, and the wrath of the king is coming, and his judgment is coming, but you don't have to suffer that wrath. He has laid down his life for you. The first time he came down to this world to take on a body, to go to a cross for your sins, to be your substitute. He so desires to wash away your sins and to give you his righteousness. The second time he comes, he's coming in full wrath and full judgment. So we have the kingdom of God within our hearts. No wonder Jesus, when the disciples ask him how to pray, he says, this is how I want you to pray, God. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. To be blessed is to have the kingdom of God within your heart. I pray, I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done. And may it start in my heart, and may it start in every area in which I go today, Lord. May the name of Christ be exalted in my workplace. May the name of Christ be exalted in the gas station that I go to. May the name of Christ be exalted to my neighbors and whom I live next door to. May the name of Christ be exalted. Because the king's coming. So the very first word Jesus starts off in the Sermon on the Mount is blessed. And notice what he starts with. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And we're going to talk about this next week. But this is what I want you to catch this week. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Notice what he says here. And then this is what he says on his last stanza. This is his last point. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And you say, Pastor Dan, what's so significant about that? Well, there's no other place where he says the same thing twice. And here he starts it off and he caps it at the end with, and theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, it's in the present indicative. It's happening now. With those who are blessed and are my children, theirs is the kingdom of God. It's a guarantee. Everything else that you will read, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You'll find it in the future. Now, why is that so significant? We'll look at that next week. But it has everything to do with whether you find your satisfaction in God or not. It has everything to do with whether you're trusting in his word today or not. We can go ahead and have the worship team come on up. That'd be great. So let's go ahead and read it again, knowing this new definition of blessed. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Satisfied fully are the poor in spirit, Why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Satisfied fully are those who mourn. Why? They know they're going to be comforted. Blessed are the gentle. They shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful. They shall receive mercy, and they know it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Fully satisfied are the pure in heart, because they know they're going to see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And fully satisfied are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, you're in good company. Find your satisfaction in God today, and you're going to find yourself extremely blessed.